Hey, what's up? Wow. Hey, welcome to the program. I hate to start the show like this, but I am the bearer of some bad news. And don't be mad at the messenger. That would be me. Please don't be mad. But here's the news. I have learned that the price of a postage stamp is going to be going up. Yeah. The U.S. Postal Service, which, by the way, that's the people that deliver your mail. Just in case you don't know, it doesn't magically show up in your mailbox. There are people that put them there. Yeah, it's not a Santa Claus kind of thing. There's a whole lot of people that do that. It's called the U.S. Postal Service, just in case you didn't know. They are considering raising the price of the postage stamp. As a matter of fact, next month it probably will go up. Here's a staggering amount. And I can't believe this, and I, again, I'm sorry that I'm the one to tell you this. By the way, I don't know how much a postage stamp is now, but I have no idea, because they don't print the price of the postage stamp on the stamp anymore. It used to be in the little corner of the postage stamp, and I would know exactly how much I paid for the thing. I have no idea now, because now it just says forever. So I don't know what it is. I buy postage stamps, but I don't pay attention to how much it is. I just say, okay, that's the price of the postage stamp. Here's the money. I don't even know what it is. I say, give me like one of those sheets of postage stamps. And the guy behind the counter, who is with the U.S. Postal Service, by the way, says, okay, here's your sheet. And I say, here's my credit card. And I have no idea. I have no idea what I just spent. Anyway, and the only reason they went to the forever stamps is when they raise the price of a postage stamp, they don't have to reprint all new stamps. It's already okay. Anyway. So, U.S. Postal Service raising the price of the postage stamp. Possibly next month, the stamp will go up in price. Here's how high the price will be. It's going to be going up 1 cent. What? Are you kidding me? Thieves! Are you... 1 cent! Great. How am I going to feed my family? I'm going to have to get a part-time job.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Kind of do like that sort of thing.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Surprised? No.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. Mm-hmm. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. What a nice person you are. She's a wonderful person. I don't know. Welcome to the show. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. Come on, give me a hug. Come on, come closer. Bring it in, baby. Let's dance. If you've heard the show before, thanks for coming back. If it is your first time, ahead of time, let me just apologize to you. Now that we have that out of the way, listening to this show is like a cult, in a good way. Many people think that all I do on this program is just complain about things. Well, that's not entirely not true. So, this is life is a journey. Did you know that it has hurdles and it has peaks and valleys? And I figure that we can all go through these things together. Because if you go through life with blinders on, then you miss all the crap going on around it. So my job is to accentuate the crap and let us all enjoy it together. What a thesis for a program. And there are certain rules and regulations if you're going to start following this show, which I hope you do. Here's what they are.
This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required. No cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo. Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
Not too difficult to understand, is it? Well, how are you, by the way? First, I'd like to set up a personal relationship with you. Nothing awkward, but just, hey, it's I want to feel close to you. So what we do is we kind of have a conversation between the two of us. Now, don't feel shy about this. As you probably know, when you listen to your smartphone or something on a computer or your radio, or wherever the case may be, wherever you're listening to this, you must realize that Comcast and other cable companies and internet providers, they're listening to everything you say. You know that. You've heard stories about it. It's a two-way thing. You think that when you're changing your clothes in your bedroom that you're by yourself? No. Your TV's watching you. You know that. Don't ever have your smartphone directed at your face, because that's being recorded by somebody somewhere in another country, probably Russia. So you got to understand what's going on, which means that I can see you right now, and I can prove it to you. You didn't look at your hair. Yeah, am I right? It's all messed up. That's because I can see you. I can see everything you're doing. So we're going to set up a relationship here. You can actually talk into your smartphone or into your computer or your radio, and I will be able to hear you when I push the magic button. So let's have a conversation. This way we can familiarize ourselves with each other. We'll be more comfortable, and you can further enjoy the program by having this very surface relationship with me, very similar to Facebook friends. These are the 1,000 people that are your friends, and you know pretty much none of them whatsoever. Sure, there's maybe 5 or 6 Facebook friends that are your close family, and a couple of other people that you keep in touch with, but you really can't stand to be with physically. You know that. The other 900 people are friends of friends of friends that you don't even know who they are friends. So let's just get that straight. I'm on to you. You know, if you're walking around saying to yourself, I'm a very popular person, I have 1,000 Facebook friends. If you're walking around and making yourself feel good about that, then this is under the category of delusional. Because these people don't know who you are. They never go to your Facebook page. And if they do, how much of an effort is it for someone to take a little mouse and click like? It's no effort whatsoever. Is that a real friend? Is that, I have 1,000 friends and they all have my back. They don't even know your name. Are you serious? Come on. Come on. Get off of that. And if you're going to start taking pictures of your food every night and then posting that on Facebook, you really need to see somebody about that. Because really not supposed to be normal, okay? All right, let's have a conversation. I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to respond. Don't be shy. Don't feel weird about talking into your device. I can hear you. Keep your answers very, very short, okay? So we can have a lively conversation. Here we go. By the way, this conversation technology is unique to this particular program. We have software developers that have come up with this ability technologically to do two-way conversations, even though I'm doing a public program. Here we go. Hi, how are you? What's your name? Go ahead and say your name. Well, that's a very nice name. Do you have a middle name? Oh. And how long have you lived where you're living now? Ah, I see. Wow. Uh-huh. Do you have a job? Oh. Ugh, I am so sorry. Okay. What's your favorite color? Mine too, mine too. Wow, that is so amazing. What's your sign? I say I don't follow that stuff, so I don't know what that means. But I'm sure you're a very nice person. I really am. If you could do anything you wanted to do, what would it be? Skydive, deep sea fishing. What would it be? Uh huh. Really? Really? That is amazing. Oh, God. How long can this go on?
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
So I actually went to a casino this past weekend. I never go to casinos because I don't gamble. Because the house always wins. No matter what you do, the house always wins. It's just a question of knowing when to walk away. You know all that stuff. So I go to a casino basically because I have nothing to do. And there was one nearby that I had never visited before. And I walked in and it's fascinating. It's fascinating because of the people. Because I don't really gamble. I don't understand the games too much. I sit in front of those little slot machines, you know, and I watch the fruit spin around and crap like that. And I'm mesmerized by spinning fruit, by the way. I always have been since I was a child. My mother used to spin cherries in front of my face. And I don't know if that was Freudian or what, but to this day, I just love watching spinning fruit. Anyway, that sounded really wrong, didn't it? I don't understand the games. I'm intimidated by games that I don't understand. I'm intimidated by people that I don't understand. I'm just plain intimidated by everything, but in a good way, in a healthy way. So I'm sitting at one of these slot machines, and I'm watching the fruit spin, and I'm also looking at the people, because the people fascinate me. I'd say about 90% of the women that play the slot machines, just about 90%, I would guess. They all carry AARP cards, especially in the daytime, and all of them, if not most of them, only have one lung left. And you can tell that because every once in a while they'll shout something obscene or make a comment to the slot machine itself as if they're having a relationship. And what I hear is, oh my God. And that's a woman. You don't have to ask her if she ever smoked. You just have to ask her if she ever stopped smoking. And that's usually a giveaway with the actual breathing device that is connected to her by a tube. And I'm not being nasty about that. It's just, it just seems to go hand in hand that if and I know in some casinos, they actually have non-smoking areas. There's nobody in them. There's nobody there. They're all in the smoking areas. I don't know why. There's a bingo room at this particular casino. And the bingo room is fascinating because it's, first of all, don't ever walk into the bingo room because you'll immediately feel like you were just snatched by an alien spaceship taking you to a planet that you're just not going to get along with. They're in their own thing. They're in their own cult, so to speak. It is like a cult religious organization where you have thousands and thousands of people over the age of 60, and they are all facing the front, and on a stage is what I call their leader, who does nothing but stand in front of them as all these thousands of women attentively look at this person on the stage, and the person on the stage calls out numbers. And the people, the masses, are mesmerized. That is a cult. There is no other situation where masses of people would listen to the directions of one person calling out a letter and a number. It's scary. It's very scary. It's almost like going to a Catholic mass. The power that is portrayed by this person calling out the number and the letter is just fantastic. And then, like on some bizarre episode of The Price is Right, somebody jumps up in this massive audience of 1,000 older people. Somebody jumps up and yells, "Bingo," which I don't know what that means. I think it's a cult message, which means kill everybody. I don't know what it means, but apparently bingo is the code word. And then terrible things happen. So I don't go in that room at all. I don't go in that room. It's an interesting place, these casino things. I don't know. Then you go to the bar, you have a little drink there, and everybody at the bar obviously has lost huge amounts of cash because they're all drinking the cheap beer at this point. They all don't look like they're happy. They all look like they've lost a friend or something, or their lives are over. They're not thrilled. They are not thrilled. And the bartenders don't even talk to the customers because they're scared that it would open up a conversation to hell. It's a very odd place, these casinos. It's kind of like a Disney World of people that are willing to throw their money away. And if you speak to someone that goes to a casino and you say to them, "Why do you go to a casino? You know you're going to lose your money." They say, "Yeah, I go for the entertainment." And I say, "What, is somebody performing? Is Elvis going to be there? Like, what are you talking about?" "No, the entertainment. I know that I'm going to lose a certain amount of money, so I spend the money and it entertains me." I see. So that's why you go to a casino. In your mind, you know you're going to lose a couple of $100, but that's the price of having a good time sitting in front of a machine with spinning fruit, and the good feeling that you have leaving the location with $200 less than what you walked in with, that was entertainment. And you didn't even hear Elvis perform because he's dead. Hate to break it to you, but he's not around anymore. And that's kind of sad. So every once in a while, I will go to a casino in order to observe the people. It's part of my job. I am in a job that needs to observe people, quite obviously. Otherwise, I'd have nothing to talk about at all.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. But you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
Gary Shapiro is going to join us very, very soon as we mosey down the...
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something like cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
Hi, Ron. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. Gary Shapiro joins us. He's president and CEO of Consumer Technology Association. And we're going to talk about the state-by-state 2017 Innovation Scorecard. What is the Innovation Scorecard?
Well, what it is, it's an annual index that we do. It evaluates 50 states across 10 different categories. And we figure out whether or not the state policies and laws and environment encourage or discourage innovation.
Okay. Can you give me some examples of what states stand where?
Well, we have 10 champions. They're in the top tier. These are states which encourage innovation. Yep. And returning to that category are Delaware, Massachusetts, Michigan, North Dakota, Utah, and Virginia. Mm-hmm. But we have four new ones, Colorado, Maryland, New Hampshire, and Washington.
Well, very sweet. Very sweet. Okay. These are all in the north, it sounds like. Is that true?
The new ones certainly have snow.
Okay.
I wonder if there's a correlation there. In fact, so do the old ones, come to think of it. They all get snow.
A lot of snow. Well, okay. Enough
said. I guess Virginia's about as far south as we go here.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of on that line of Mason and Dixon there. But anyway, okay, well, that encourages the southern states to get on board, I suppose.
Yes, it does. Okay. You know, we look at things like whether they endorse or are favorable to new business models like mm-hmm. Airbnb and Lyft and Uber, mm-hmm. Whether they're okay with drones, whether they're encouraging self-driving cars. We look at what their internet speeds are, mm-hmm. which is very important, we think, for innovation.
Certainly.
We look at their tax policy and whether or not they're a right-to-work state.
Wow. Okay. All right. So so certain states welcome innovation. How do states, so they improve by embracing technology in a safe, clean way?
Well, right. Every state has strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. There's no state that's totally terrible. No state that's perfect.
Right.
So one of the ways we've changed the ranking this year is we've added we're looking at whether they protect people from discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a change because one of the principles that tech companies have, and innovators is they want to get the best and the brightest from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't feel comfortable or embraced by a state, they're not likely to go there.
Okay.
We're based in Virginia, and Virginia has not been great in that category, yeah. and we've worked hard to try to get that changed. But we see that some of, for example, our gay employees, most of them live in D.C.
Right.
and commute to Virginia. So we're always looking for some, you know, ways to even make the state where we reside in better as
right.
well.
Right. Okay. A lot of technologies, you know, it takes time for governments especially and companies to embrace technology because it kind of broadsides them, and they kind of need time to assess the pros and the cons. Would it be that the states that are doing well on the scorecard tend to be more innovative and tend to take more chances?
I think they're quicker moving. I think their state legislatures are those that are willing to say, look, this is the future. We have to be there or be a state that's left behind. I mean, in our industry, we look at companies like Eastman Kodak and Circuit City and even now Radio Shack and others and say the leaders of yesterday doesn't mean you're going to be the leader of tomorrow. So there is you just can't stay in place or otherwise everyone's going to pass you. And innovation is really important in terms of just serving citizens. Look at something like broadband speed. That really matters to people.
Yes, it does.
People choose their places to live, even their apartment buildings or homes, based on the broadband speed now.
Very true. Let's talk about drones, because that's a new technology. And I know that some states embrace it, some don't. Some towns embrace it, and some towns don't, because there are so many pros involved, and then so many cons of invasion of privacy, and a lot of things to be sorted out.
You're absolutely right on that. You know, this is one where we say the federal government was slow to get going, but now they have, like with airplanes, they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
The truth is 32 states have nothing on drones, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Five states, though, are actually encouraging them, and that got them an A in the category.
Mm-hmm.
Two had legislation which the governor actually vetoed in California and Georgia. There were bad drone bills.
Wow.
If you over-criminalize drone technology, if you have rules that clash with the federal rules, we penalize you because these are things which could hurt the commercial creation, a lot of jobs, a lot of new innovative services are coming with drones. They're saving people's lives and not only providing them drugs or that they need or getting helping rescue missions or finding kids that are lost, but also in performing, you know, what are dangerous human operations like inspecting bridges and windows and things like that. So
it depends on the application. I mean, it's like the internet itself. It can be tremendously a wonderful change of life with information and access, or it can destroy people's lives. I mean, it's kind of similar.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're like hammers. They're tools that could be used to build things, or they're, you know, a hammer could be used to hurt someone.
Yes.
That's, it's like almost anything in technology.
True.
It's not good or bad. It depends how it's used.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for drones as long as United Airlines doesn't get into it. Okay.
Yeah, United Airlines seems to have a little bit of an issue today, doesn't it?
A little bit. It's always something to make fun of, I suppose, but that kind of puts them on their guard, so that's okay. and then the other thing is self-driving cars. I know that that's like really on the forefront, and that takes a lot of legislation, I suppose.
Yeah, so obviously we're heading towards a world where there will be almost no deaths from car accidents. Right now it's one of the leading sources of loss of life. It's almost 35,000 Americans a year.
Mm-hmm.
And states are either encouraging or discouraging or doing nothing.
Yeah.
Most states have no laws or regulations, which is fine, but two states actually have favorable legislation, Louisiana and Michigan, and they basically allow testing and operation on their highways, and they don't require a licensed driver. That's something very important to the elderly and the disabled community, that you shouldn't have to build a car or have a licensed driver, build a car for a driver. In other words, have a steering wheel, have all the extra cost in there, and you could add a lot of space if you don't have all that and say take out a lot of cost. The worst states, believe it or not, is everyone thinks California is so pro-innovation, but the truth is they have limited the testing of vehicles.
Again.
And Tennessee, that makes it very, very difficult to test a vehicle in there. They're even looking at a per-mile tax on vehicles, which is something that's probably the wave of the future, but could be harmful.
Yeah, I'd say interestingly odd. Okay, where can we get more information about this? This is fascinating, but we got time restraints on our conversation. Where do we go for more?
It's a cta.tech/scorecard. That's cta.tech/scorecard.
Perfect. Hey, Gary, good to speak to you again. You take care.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. Are you one of those people that wake up in the morning and you have to find out like what's going to happen because of your sign? Well, if you are one of those people, we've got this for you.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have in mind for you. Aquarius, take a chance on doing something that might leave a mark or a scar. Pisces, your lucky number is 781.57, but don't be off by so much as a decimal, or it means certain death. Aries, dance like no one is watching, because in your case, no one is. You're all alone in this world. Embrace that. Taurus, I have three words for you. Lubricants, lubricants, lubricants. Gemini, get ready for a big surprise courtesy of a shellfish allergy you didn't know you had. Cancer, now is a great time to buy that samurai sword you've been thinking about. The ninjas are closing in. Leo, hi Leo, how are you? Virgo, order the creme brulee, then leave without paying. This will lead to true love and a criminal record. Libra, lucky you, the stars are aligning. Good fortune and prosperity are coming your way and happiness Oh wait, sorry, I skipped ahead. That's for Scorpio. Libra, make peace with your gods, for your time of reckoning is at hand. Sagittarius, remember that life is a marathon, not a sprint. But in your case, it might not hurt to step up the pace a little. The clock is running. And Capricorn, leave it alone. Stop picking at it or it won't heal. Try some coconut oil. And that's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
Let's talk about sex.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Never ask a friend or another person how often they have sex, because it's always going to be more than you do. You're purposely depressing yourself. That's just a friendly reminder from Ron to you. Never talk about somebody else's sex life. In comparison, yours is going to suck. Why do you go there? Why do you even bother? It's not that sex, talking about sex is such a personal thing. It's not really that. It's that somebody is going to feel not as good as they did before. Because everything's a comparison in life. If you have two people and you have two situations, one's going to be better than the other. And chances are, theirs is going to be better than yours. That's all I'm saying. Be careful now. I'm looking out for you. I got your back.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex.
That's enough about sex. That's just as far as I'm going to go with that today. Maybe some other day we can talk, but not today. When I was talking about the casino thing, I was referring to the number of people at a casino who are AARP members. By the way, you can be an AARP member now when you're 16, because I think it used to be 50. I think now you can. Now it's 16. They've changed the requirements substantially. Anyway, the AARP are a fantastic organization. They lobby for seniors. And I'll tell you something. Whether you're a senior or not, you will be, if you're lucky, if you should live that long, you'll be a senior. So shut your mouth when it comes to that subject matter. Always respect your elders. There are certain cultures where the eldest person in the family is the revered one. I like that. I think that's a good thing. I think the oldest person should always be revered. Their experience is unparalleled. Unless their life sucked completely, then their life experience is something that you don't want to do. So I guess, never mind. It's not just because you're old, it's because you're wise and old, not stupid and old. So there is an explanation attached to that. Anyway, AARP does a purpose award. I didn't know what that was, but we're going to find out.
Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Ron.
How are you? Good to speak
Very
to you.
Very fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Barb Quaintance joins us. She's Managing Director, Experience Corps at AARP, and Barbara Chandler Allen, who won the Purpose Prize for her work with Fresh Artists in a previous year. Tell us about this this prize, Barbara.
Ron, I'm delighted to talk to you about the Purpose Prize. It was established about 10 years ago to recognize amazing people doing amazing work. The winners are all age 50-plus who are really transforming their communities through their passion and experience and dedication. AARP will award 5 prize winners this year, each receiving $50,000.
Ooh. Okay, and this is in the area of doing work in their community, helping improve social situations?
That's right. It's about making the world a better place.
Yeah.
We don't limit the prize to just one topic, so people can work on any variety of issues in their community and, frankly, some halfway around the world. We've had winners who did work, for example, on clean water in India or adoptive children in another country. So the range is very wide. We want to acknowledge and celebrate that there are many, many ways to make the world a better place.
Sure. Now, Barbara Chandler Allen, your past winner, what was the topic that was involved here?
Well, I was in Philadelphia, and I realized that the Philadelphia Public Schools, fifth largest in the district in the country, were having funds cut for arts. And my son and I came up with an idea, called it Fresh Artists, to raise money to pour art supplies back into the poorest
Wonderful.
Public schools. We did this as a very big idea, but just two little people in our communities working on a problem we saw needed being fixed.
Mm-hmm.
When I won the Purpose Prize, someone nominated me, and we won the Purpose Prize. I always say we, but it was me that was 60 and at that point. It was like that we built a little jet that was buzzing around fixing things,
mm-hmm.
And the Purpose Prize was the jet fuel that we needed to go farther and higher.
Mm.
Once I won the Purpose Prize, immediately the organization that we were running, very small,
mm-hmm.
Began to change. People started calling. The world became much larger almost instantly. It was an amazing thing. We have now, in 8 years, delivered more than $800,000 in art supplies to the poorest schools now all across the country.
Wow. So you definitely would say to others to get involved in this and see if there's some type of purpose you have.
Absolutely. I saw in my career as an art museum administrator, my life had been lived in art museums,
uh-huh.
and when I saw that the schools were losing their art funding, I took threads from that career in my encore career and wove a new tapestry, and creating Fresh Artists was the result. Being recognized by the Purpose Prize meant everything to us. It still does to this day.
You sound like you're the kind of person that through their entire lifetime did this kind of thing.
Well, I only had one job when I was 19. I worked for a stockbroker for 6 months. That was the only for-profit job I ever had.
That's probably quite
enough. Yes, I've been a nonprofit all my life.
Excellent. By the way, your name, nice name. I like that.
Thanks.
Sounds like either you should be running a corporation or writing like dozens of books, one or the other. But what you're doing now is good. I'm just saying, you got a beautiful name. Very nice. Barb Quayton's not so bad either, by the way. how can people get involved? What do they do? What steps do they take to get involved in this?
Well, the nomination process for the Purpose Prize is open right now. You can nominate yourself, or you can nominate someone who inspires you. Mm-hmm. The best way is to go to Purpose Prize, that's one word, purposeprize.aarp.org, and fill out an application or nominate someone. And the nomination process is open through May 12th.
Wow. You know, the AARP should be running the government. You don't have to be quote unquote senior in order to take advantage or even to understand what the AARP actually does and how influential they are and how much of a social influence they are on all of our lives. And what a wonderful organization.
Well, thank you, Ron.
Yeah.
We really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and to be able to celebrate this amazing work that's happening across the country.
Yeah. Now, one more time, where do we go to find out more information about this?
Purposeprize.aarp.org. Nominations open through May 12th.
And you can actually nominate yourself, one of the few entities in the world where you can actually nominate yourself, which is wonderful.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to beg people and be, you know, all that stuff. Hey, thanks for your time, both of you. It's nice to talk about something positive for a change. So thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. There's a lot of love going on there. Could you tell that there was a lot of love going on? Yeah, good kind of love. You know, when I grew up, why are you arguing that point with me? Why I never grew up? Well, I did. And when I was growing up, there was free love and peace. There were peace signs. They looked like a piece of a pie. And man, what can be a better symbol of one's generation than peace? P-E-A-C-E is what I'm talking about. I'm serious. What a wonderful, wonderful symbol that is. And I think we've lost that. I think we're living in a time of confrontation. The symbol for this generation should be the confrontation symbol. Fists flying, things like that. Because we're all confronting each other now. Everything's a battle. Everything's an argument. Everything's a like, a dislike. A frustration. It's unfortunate. Now, I could do a peace show, but no one would listen. Who wants to hear a peace show? Would you listen to a show like this if all I did was, aren't the flowers beautiful? What you must do is water your flowers every 2 days and check the buds, and you want to do a little bit of a clipping of any dead leaves on the plant. And then sit back and notice that the little plants are listing a little bit to the left, in which case you want to gently tuck the dirt around the stem of the plant. How long would you listen to that? Unfortunately, that's theatrical confrontation. That's what I do. But I'm a man of peace. There is a peaceful being inside me. I don't know his name or her name, but they're living inside me. They're living off of the fat of my land. It's not right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time, and I'll be back again tomorrow, at which point I hope you join me again, without any snacks or alcohol, just you and me, okay? What do you think? No? All right. How about yes? At the end of this program, I'm going to ask for you to do a one-question survey. Your response will be recorded through my technology system of being able to hear your response, as I alluded to at the beginning of the show. So take no more than 10 seconds of your time. So this is a closing theme that's playing now in the background. When that's over, there will be a survey question. Your response will be recorded, and it's done in order to make this show better than it even is now, which is, how much room would there be for that? So here comes the survey. Please stand by. It is time now for the survey. How did you find today's show? What did you feel about today's show in a critical sense?
It was unbelievably painful.
Whatever.